recovery is in its best form when it comes with sleep, hydration, and nutrition, especially at a young age, or especially if you're an athlete where recovery resources aren't as available.
Are you raising a family while also feeling like you're still growing up yourself? Do you wonder if you are getting it right? Welcome to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. She's a pediatrician and a mom, and she helps the whole family.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sarah Adams, a board-certified pediatrician, but I'm not your pediatrician. Feel free to use my podcast as helpful information, but in no way do I intend my podcast to replace the advice of your physician. Your physician knows you and is in the best position to provide medical advice. Welcome back to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. Today's episode is especially close to my heart. I'm joined by my son, Ben Adams, who works in sports medicine as the head athletic trainer with the football program at Marshall University. Ben's journey begins the same way it does for so many kids, playing local league sports, juggling school, practices, games, and the occasional injury. And it eventually led him to one of the highest levels of athletic care in the country. I wanted to bring you on the show, Ben, because parents are asking more questions than ever about injury prevention, treatment, overtraining, and whether or not their child can safely pursue competitive sports, maybe even professionally or in college. You bring a rare perspective, not just as a professional athletic trainer working with elite athletes, but as someone who lived youth sports from the inside out. Thanks for joining your mom at work.
Thank you for having me. It's cool being able to join you here. It's been a while since I've joined you in an office or a clinic. So it feels good to kind of relive that.
You know, this is going to be a fun conversation because not only are we mom and son, this conversation too is kind of provider to provider. And you and I have a lot of fun talking about some of the things you see at work and some of the things I see at work.
We do. It's one of the best parts about coming home, too, is picking each other's brains on different cases and really getting each other's perspective on different things.
It's fun because sometimes those that are listening will be watching something from two totally different states, and I'll text message him when somebody gets hurt, like in the NFL, and we'll go back and forth about what we think is going on. And that's fun. But I want to go back to the fact that you work at Marshall University, a place with such a powerful story behind it. Some people may know Marshall because of the tragedy in 1970 when so many players, coaches, and staff were lost. And what an incredible way the program rebuilt itself. As your mom, I'm curious, what does it feel like to walk into work every day knowing you're part of that legacy now?
To me, it's the best thing about Marshall. The foundation of this program is built around that tragedy and the following year that they took to rebuild. And every day we're reminded to honor the 75 lives that were lost. I mean, it's plastered all over the building. There's gear made specifically for it. We have ceremonies throughout the year. We have the throwback game every single year that's around the November date. And it's truly special, and it's unlike anything I've been around in athletics. If you've seen the film, it actually does a phenomenal job reflecting that culture and that tragedy. And we watch it as a team before we even begin training camp before each season.
Well, I know when I've attended games to watch you in action, I know that I get chills whenever I hear the stadium announce, you know, yelling out, "We are Marshall." And so I'm really proud of you for being a part of that legacy. And talking about legacy and chills, we just watched the 2026 Winter Olympics wrap up, and I couldn't help thinking of you while we were watching hockey and some of the other high impact sports. Knowing what you know now, what goes through your mind when you're watching these athletes really push their bodies like that?
Hockey by itself is on another level of high impact. I always worried what I would have to do in a situation when someone's tooth falls out in a game.
Yeah.
And then to see Jack Hughes get multiple knocked out of his mouth and then go ahead and score the game winner kind of brought a sense of relief of like, okay, it's not going to completely ruin their day or mine. So, but I realized that those athletes are pushing their bodies, one, because of what's on the line, and two, they've prepared for that kind of strain. But really, I mean, as impressive as hockey was, skiing, those massive jumps and some of the crashes, and again, like, it's just something you and I, we like to bond over. We hate seeing people get hurt or go through any type of traumatic experience like that, but we have good dialogue when we do see it, like you said, when we see it on TV and we see it happen, we like to kind of run to each other and just talk it out. And you know, I love when you ask me, like, what do you think happened? And so I kind of like to watch it and deduct what's going on. But just to see some of the stakes of what could happen to their bodies as they go through some of these sports, it's really, that's what's going through my mind is how do you do that over and over and over with repetition, and at least look calm doing it. I'm sure underneath or not, but to look calm and do it with ease is what's just flowing through my brain every single time.
And I think about the injuries you had in the back of our yard because you didn't have that protective equipment. So thanks for sharing that because it is important.
Now, yeah, it's very important because you can avoid things so easily, like bone bruises, muscle contusions, like just having the right padding on in the right places. We have guys every day walk in with bruised quads, bruised calves, and like there are there's equipment specifically for those things. And it's like, I kind of just look at them like, you know, if you wore your stuff right, then we wouldn't have this issue. But it's easily avoidable. And it's just especially early on. It's like you can, that's just a good way to pace yourself if you have a long athletic career ahead of you.
Let's talk about beginning that journey because you're talking about that long athletic career, little kids and big dreams. And you're talking about protective gear when kids are just starting out in local leagues. What do you wish parents understood about protecting their kids' health from the very beginning, let's say in football or really any of those high contact sports?
From the very beginning, just playing by the rules. I mean, there's no reason to go outside of it. I think just learning how to play the right way and playing in a safe way. You know, they teach tackling from when you start out all the way through the NFL. Like they teach you and you go through all the steps again and again and again because there is a safe way to do it. Kind of on the conversation of what we talked about with protective equipment, you know, doing it the right way can just, you can avoid things that are just so easy to stay away from that will can cut your career short. So for parents, I think the most important thing is protective equipment, learning how to play the game, ask questions if you don't know what's going on, and just being informative, I think will set you up in a good platform to have a longer career.
I love to hear from folks raising children. Parents, I'm talking to you. When your child talks about sports, are they sharing joy or stress? And how do you respond when they tell you they're hurting? Please let me know by commenting below or email me at growingupwithdr.sarah@gmail.com. And we might feature your question on a future episode. What I'm thinking about, Ben, is as a parent, it's really hard not to worry. And from where you sit, what do parents worry about that maybe they really don't need to when it comes to their kids' injuries?
The biggest thing parents worry about at this level are being so far away from their children, especially for the first time. So there's some that always want to be in the loop, and then there's some that always like, don't call me unless like you need me. So it's just, there's a spectrum there. I think you absolutely need to find a middle ground. There's parents I talk to once a week. There are parents I talk to once a year. So I think kind of right in the middle. And so I really just, the things that really they only need to worry about, I say, are on an emergent level. So if someone ever goes to the hospital for anything, I'm always going to contact the parents because one, they're going to be worried two, they need to know about it, but what they shouldn't worry about are things that can get handled in-house. So for a collegiate program where we have a full staff, we have a full room, we have just a extensive team of medical professionals from physicians to chiropractors, nurses, orthopedic specialists. So it's like there's so many things in-house that can get taken care of. So basically what I'm saying is if you're not being contacted about it, then it's probably not something you need to worry about, but it's always warranted when a mom or a dad are so far away from their child for the first time. And they may not, like, surprisingly enough, some come in and have never had any type of injury history coming in. And so it's just a lot of them, it's new territory. So for things not to worry about, it's all getting handled in-house. If you're not being contacted, then it's not that serious. But as always, like, as I said earlier, for parents getting involved for the first time in youth sports, like, ask questions, be informed, because that'll settle your mind, especially with the distance.
You know, as a pediatrician and a mom, I remember sitting in the grandstands and a kid would get hurt. And it was a situation where I really needed to trust the process, trust the athletic trainers like yourself, trust the coaches, the team. And I can remember sitting there, Ben, and people would look at me and they're like, just because I was a pediatrician sitting in the stands, they would say to me, hey, aren't you going to go down there or run out there or, you know, help? And I would just sit because I really trusted the process and knew that you were taking care of things, like you, meaning the athletic trainers and so on. And so what I hear you saying is that trust really means showing a little restraint for parents to not be overbearing or micromanaging. But how can parents stay involved and protective while still helping kids before they've gone off to college and develop ownership over their bodies, their limits, and their goals? How can parents just kind of show restraint but also be supportive at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Was there ever a time when Mel or Dan would bring all the parents together, like in preseason or in the summer, like before we ever started a season?
Well, I do remember one time having a conversation, like parent meetings for sure, and we were introduced to them. For those that are listening, Mel and Dan are the names of the athletic trainers that really inspired Ben to do what he's doing today. They worked at the high school that the kids went to, and I had a good relationship with them. And I was even on the field for some of the games taking pictures as a mom, not as a doctor. And I was always so impressed by the work that they did.
Yeah. I think in youth sports, I'm sure boundaries, that word can get thrown around. I don't think overbearing is really a descriptive I would use for parents in youth sports, especially while they're minors, because parents need to be involved in that kind of care.
Okay.
So I would say in youth sports, like, they need to be involved as possible, at least when it comes to managing care and if any physicians are involved, or a lot of time is missed. Most definitely they need to ask questions and be involved and be around. But when you go to college, and that's when the challenge really starts, especially if you haven't been through it before.
And so that sounds like keeping good communication with coaches, right? Sounds like keeping good communication with the athletic trainers and your kid.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Now, you see a lot of injuries, and as your mom, I can remember how scary it was when you get hurt as a kid. What are the most common injuries in young athletes today? How are they different from the college level, if any?
The big ones on an acute level are definitely ankle sprains, knee injuries, such as ACL and meniscus tears, concussions. That's increasing in youth sports. On a chronic level, it's stress fractures, tendinopathies, so mostly known as tendonitis, and growth plate injuries, Salter-Harris fractures, which we've talked about before. From an acute injury standpoint, it's the exact same as what I see on a college level. Where it differs is on the chronic side, because you're dealing with immature skeletal tissue that's still developing and learning how to manage this new load that your body is trying to adapt to.
And I would say that concurs with what I see in the office. What's something parents often underestimate when it comes to recovery, do you think?
Recovery is in its best form when it comes with sleep, hydration, and nutrition, especially at a young age, or especially if you're an athlete where recovery resources aren't as available. So at a collegiate level, you're going to have lots of modern modalities that we call it. And it's, you know, Whirlpool therapy, intermittent pneumonic compression, soft tissue therapy. There's levels to it. And then there's, at a high school level, some places might be fortunate enough to have one or two of those things, but most don't. And so even with all the resources and access to things that we have, the number one thing that we always promote is sleep, hydration, and nutrition. Because lacking in all three of those areas are going to put you at risk for musculoskeletal injury before anything else.
Yes. And you know what? That's interesting that you say that, because those are all really important things. Absolutely. And I agree that we do underestimate that. What I would have thought you were going to say was just recovery time. So I really appreciate you sharing that, because what it sounds like is if you're getting rest, if you're getting nutrition, if you're hydrating, if you're listening to what you're supposed to do, that's when the recovery time, which I mentioned, is actually going to be cut down, which is so important. I think so often parents are like, well, when can they start playing again? And what about the athlete? What should they be anticipating too when it comes to their own recovery?
Early on, soreness is good. So parents and athletes may often mistake soreness as an injury if it's a new sensation to them. So for people just starting out in youth sports, or even just getting into high level intensity training at a high school level even, or late middle school, that new sensation is going to feel like something is wrong with your body. And you want to listen to it. And you don't want to push it any further while you are sore, but that just tells your body, once it goes away, like, okay, I'm ready to get back into it. So I think if it's a new sensation for people, don't mistake it as anything wrong with you. One, it means that you are doing the right thing and you are getting something out of it. And two, your body just needs to relax and recover for a moment.
Yes. And I think the other thing that we underestimate is the fact that when you push yourself like that, you know, you are going to feel something. I mean, like you said, that's something that is actually happening, especially to new athletes that are really trying new things. Now, when you played in high school and even before that, as you were growing up, you played football, baseball, lacrosse. You even tried wrestling and martial arts. I, of course, was my favorite thing to do was watching you play. When you think about that time, what stands out to you now?
They really all have their place one way or another. Football, obviously, because I'm still in it. And I apply things from those playing days every day, whether it's injuries, X's and O's, or return to play. But they've all played a role. Baseball has taught me skill. Lacrosse has taught me endurance. Martial arts has taught me patience, and wrestling taught me how to, you know, you deplete 100% from the tank and you take 10% more off. So they all have a place, in my philosophy and what I teach these student athletes at the collegiate level.
What sport really stuck with you?
Football, without question.
Yeah. Do you remember you had some injuries, moments where your body told you to slow down? If you could talk to your younger self, what would you tell him about listening to your body?
I mean, injuries are a big reason I got into this profession, injuries of my own, but definitely one of my concussions is a specific time when, you know, my body told me to slow down. So my body and my mother kept telling me to slow down and didn't listen as much as I should have at the time. It's very memorable. It's amazing because that one lasted probably a week and a half to 2 weeks. So, which is now looking back, I'm like, that's actually a long time. They all vary in timelines. Everyone's different. Some people recover in 5 days. Some people take a month to recover. It's never anyone's issue. But it's looking back, I'm like, oh, wow, it was actually a whole 2 week ordeal. So, if I could talk to my younger self, you know, listen to your mother, listen to your body. This isn't something to mess around with, because it's going to be harder to concentrate in school as you get older.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, sports feel different now than when you were growing up. Kids are training harder. They're training earlier. Parents feel so much pressure, like trying to keep up with other families. From where you sit, when does that intensity start to become too much?
From where I sit, and I've seen guys, you know, burnout is a word that's thrown around all the time.
Yeah.
And so when you experience burnout, we've talked about this once before on the podcast a couple episodes ago that you and I did. It shows very similar symptoms to depression. So burnout affects your mental health, and that intensity starts to become too much, you know, when they start to feel that pressure and they get burnt out and they lose the joy of what they, you know, used to love doing. And that'll show physical signs to it. So always, you know, always kind of be aware of those things.
Yes, I think that's such an important thing to bring up. I know I see that sometimes too. They'll come into the office and they're just tired, you know, so kids are either some things to be watching for parents, especially are signs like oversleeping or not getting enough sleep. You brought up rest and how important it is. A lot of families though are hiring private trainers for very young athletes now, and they feel like they're falling behind if they don't. What do you want parents to know about when private training helps and when it actually might increase injury?
Private training has its place. I think there's an age at when you should start. I think if you don't have the training resources available to you, I think it's great. I think when you're getting newly involved in sports, it's a great tool. But I think it actually increases injury risk when you do it too much. So I won't get into the physiology of it all. But when you overtrain, and your tissues aren't developed to that kind of training, you expose yourself to a higher risk of injury. So that's kind of the biggest thing that parents need to worry about, far before worrying about falling behind if they don't get private training. So it's important that it has its place, but it shouldn't be the, driving factor for young athletes getting in sports.
And I read about pediatric sports doctors saying that they're seeing more serious injuries like ACL tears. And you mentioned that, and there's also, you know, injuries in the elbow and Tommy John surgeries and in kids and teens. As someone who is working in the field, when these children make it to college, what are you most concerned about with this trend, these injuries at such young ages? Now they're in college. What worries you the most about that?
So we do physicals at the start of the season, just like any high school would. And the point of that is not only to reduce risk of any underlying conditions that they may or may not know about, but we're also seeking out orthopedic history as well, just as much. ACLs, Tommy John surgeries, those are going to happen. If you have a high school athlete that has had one, it's not the end of the world. We see them all the time. However, there are more due to the amount of overtraining and sports specialization that's taking place. So sports specialization is, you know, you pick one sport and you just hammer that year round. So less and less adolescents are participating in multiple sports. They're trying to pick one so that they can be amazing at it. It's actually the opposite. You are better off playing multiple sports as opposed to just one and playing it year round. Biggest one, baseball, basketball. They're really kind of the only two that offer year round leagues. But, you know, my biggest concern for seeing those are one, they're at higher risk for developing things like arthritis at a younger age. So having an ACL or Tommy John surgery, you're going to have knee arthritis, shoulder arthritis at some point in your life. You're going to predispose yourself a little sooner. And two, if it was the product of overtraining as a child or an adolescent, what else is a ticking time bomb? So, you know, it's hard to tell. And that's not something we ask, like, oh, you tore your ACL. Is that something like, did you just play one sport? Like, we don't dive that deep into it. But if that truly is the case, you know, in the back of my mind, you know, what body part is next? But the good thing is, you know, we monitor all their training. We have a great strength and conditioning staff here at Marshall. And, you know, we talk over things all the time and we monitor their volumes and how much they're working out and running. So, you know, we're always working on injury prevention. So when they get to that point, those ticking time bombs, you know, they kind of fade, but, you know, it's just, it's hard to ever be the same after, you know, a major surgery like that, mentally and physically. So I don't want to call it baggage. That may not be the right phrase, but, you know, it's something they come in with and it's not going to turn anybody off by any means, but, it's something to definitely consider with new athletes coming into college.
Well, I know I've learned so much from you because you meet high school students who have aspirations to play in college. You work with the college athletes, and then you also help these athletes as they move on to a more professional level, specifically in your field, the NFL. And you've even yourself have had the opportunity to work at the NFL level with the in athletic training with the Atlanta Falcons. And I think it's fascinating to learn about the different developmental stages that these kids are going through. And I really appreciate you kind of outlining that and the importance of really, if you're going to consider early training, it's okay. It could be beneficial. But what I hear you saying too is make sure these kids are getting a well-rounded, diverse approach to different sports in those early ages. I love that you shared all the different things you learned from the different sports that you did. Can you reassure parents about coaching and medical support, especially as kids move into high school and college programs? Kind of walk us through what they can expect. And you talked about the physical exam and but just through your experience, what can we reassure just through your experience, can you reassure us more about that process and that transition that you see as they go from high school to college to professional sports?
The biggest thing I urge with parents going from high school to college, go to your child's recruiting visit if they are, you know, aspiring to be on that level. You're going to learn so much about what's offered to them, and you're going to see, you know, the environment that they get to be around. To go to there, and if they decide to go to a certain place, move in with them. So when we do our preseason physicals, like we talked about, you know, I always see parents on these recruiting visits, and I always see parents when we do these preseason physicals when they're just moving their newly collegiate athlete into dorms. And so that is when I get the most questions from parents in the beginning. And those are, ironically, the parents I get the least questions from on the back end, because they get to see it. So, you know, it's a long process. They go through every type of screening possible. You know, there's an NCAA structure and guideline out there. You know, it's not school specific. It's, you know, every college has the same kind of script they have to go by, checking the boxes, making sure that it is safe to put a student athlete on the field. You know, we push a lot of guys through things, in certain injuries, sometimes illness. But, you know, we always will say, and our docs will always say, like, we'll never put anybody on field if something is unsafe. So I'd say, you know, for reassurance, yeah, go to your recruiting visits, go to your move-in day, ask questions, see things. And then, you know, it's no matter where you go, there's a governing body in place to assure that no one is ever put on field with something that puts them at risk for something catastrophic.
Ben, thank you for having this conversation with me, not just as a professional, but as my son. Watching the way you care for athletes now reminds me that youth sports aren't just about performance. They're about learning how to take care of our bodies for life.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for caring for me for life.
You got it. To the parents listening, your presence, your patience, and your willingness to listen matter more than any trophy or scholarship. Thanks for listening to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah, hosted by me, Dr. Sarah Adams, and let's grow up together.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.